Well, good morning, everyone. I wonder if you've ever come across one of those headlines when you're reading something online, or maybe it's a link that pops up, one of those pop-ups on your screen, and it's all about how to make money from home online. And they come out with these ridiculous stats, and they earn £30,000 a month from the comfort of your own home. Or perhaps you've seen those ones that say, the secret Apple doesn't want you to know how to get an iPad for £15. Now we raise an eyebrow at those things. We think to ourselves, well, that must be too good to be true. And you know, I've never met anyone who said, I tried that and it worked, as they get into their posh car with their £15 iPad under their arm. It just doesn't happen. Now, hey, maybe everyone else and me, we're all cynics, but more likely it's some sort of scam. It would be great if it were true, but it's too good to be true. And when we read verses like the ones that we've read from Acts 2, we can easily become disheartened. Why can't my church be like that? Or we can become dismissive, and we say, well, no church can be like that. And often what we do is we put the early church on a pedestal. It's revered as the way church should be. But a quick scan through the New Testament shows us that the early church was far from what we read in Acts 2. In fact, if the church had remained devoted to the things that we see in Acts 2, we might not have had the rest of the New Testament, or at least we would have a very different New Testament. No, the devotion of the Acts 2 church is broken, and it's broken as early as chapter 5. It's where we see Ananias and Sapphira, and they allow greed to get in the way of their devotion to these things, and they hold on to the money that they get from selling a field. And unfortunately, they're not the exceptions. All of the churches, for example, that Paul writes to in the New Testament have problems resulting from straying from their devotion to the things that we read about. See, the early church, much like the church today, has a commitment problem, which is surprising if you consider the results of their initial devotion. So if you've got your Bibles there, turn with me to Acts 2 again, and we'll have a think first about what they're committed to, and then secondly, about the results. Now, I wonder if you've noticed that there's something that craze at the moment in fitness training. It seems to me like every few months, another one of my Facebook friends has decided to chuck in their 9-to-5 job and become a professional fitness trainer. I'm being serious. There's like 10 people I know who've become fitness trainers in the last 3 or 4 years. And what they do once they become fitness trainers is that they annoyingly post loads of things on Facebook. But one of the things that always amazes me is the results that you see in their clients, and it's actually really impressive. It shows you what the right exercises and the right diet can achieve. Commitment produces results, and that's exactly what we see in this passage. Let's look at those things they're devoted to first, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The church were devoted to four things: hearing God's word, as the apostles taught them. They would devote themselves not so much to analyzing necessarily and picking it apart, but understanding it and applying it, putting it into practice. And secondly, they're devoted to being united with God's people. They spend time with each other. Then thirdly, they're devoted to remembering what God has done. They remember what God has done and bringing them into communion with him through Christ, and consequently, communion with each other through Christ. And that's what they celebrate when they take bread and wine. And then fourthly, they're devoted to speaking with God. They communicate with God, presenting their praise, their needs, their desires before God. And then we see the results of their devotion. Verse 43, awe came upon every soul. They get who God is, what he's like. They're filled with awe at such a God who is holy and mighty and majestic and glorious. And then secondly, many wonders and signs are done through the apostles. They see God doing incredible things through the apostles to point others to the truth of their message. Then thirdly, verses 44 and 45. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They say if you want to know what someone cares about, then you should look at how they spend their money. Now, these Christians weren't just spending their money on each other. They were actually selling the things that they had so that they could give to those who were in need amongst them. This is a church that cares about each other. And then verse 47, the Lord added to their number daily. Last week we said how we relate to each other as a church is important for the way we bear witness to Christ in the world. And this shows just how powerful relating well to each other combined with signs and wonders is. It can be. It's incredible. God doesn't just add to their number every month or every week. He adds to their number daily. The results are amazing. A church that gets who God is, who sees miracles happen, who practices the love they've been shown in Jesus to each other, and a church that is growing at an exponential rate. Now, this is a church that you'd want to be part of, but as we said, it isn't long before areas of their devotion begin to stutter. Why? Why, given the incredible results that we see of a church that is devoted to such things? Well, when we read through the New Testament, we see that there are a whole host of reasons, a whole host of things that get in the way of their devotion. Disagreements, false teaching, persecution, all of these things break their devotion because they get in the way. And through intrigue or fear, the church moves away from its devotion. And the New Testament writers write because they're fighting hard to rebuke, to encourage, to inspire the early church to recommit themselves to these things. As you know, tomorrow starts the academic year in England. It's a day of newness for many, excitement for some, depression for others. And we want to buy into the excitement part of it as a church. So we are considering this the first day of our church year, if you like. That's why we're calling this morning Vision Sunday. We want to go back and think about what it is that we are about as a church. However, we talked about the commitment problem of the early church. Well, it's even harder for us today, I think, to be committed to the things that we want to be committed to. And it's because of the culture we live in. Our culture has a commitment problem. Listen to some statistics of some research that was done recently into the types of relationships that millennials, that's people just about my age, so 18 to 29-year-olds have. Unsurprisingly, it discovered that the percentage of millennials who were married decreased between 2004 and 2014 from 32% to 16%. However, interestingly, the percentage who lived together remained consistent at 14 to 15%. So that means that millennials are not choosing to live together rather than get married. No, the percentage of millennials who remain single, now by single we mean people who are not in long-term committed relationships, well, that increased from 52% to 64%. Millennials are becoming less committed to the relationships that they had. And then similar research was done into job hopping done amongst millennials who had graduated from university. It was discovered that now the average graduate changes job, changes company, four times before they're 32. There seems to be less and less loyalty to employers. People are happy to be headhunted by other companies. But interestingly, it also seems that employers are becoming less loyal to their employees. Now, that's a fairly new trait. 20 years ago, you found that the majority of graduates would stay in their jobs for at least 10 years in the same company, working their way up. But that's just not how it is today. And that's two examples of how commitment has waned at a sort of important life decision level. But commitment problems permeate the little things as well. And the reasons why are complex, but I just want to highlight three this morning. Firstly, choice. There's a reluctance to commit to things in society because there is so much choice. Take this simple act of renting a movie, for example. So, in the old days, you pop down to Blockbuster, and if you were lucky, you rented two movies, which no matter how bad they were, you watched until the end, or you watch nothing at all. Now, though, with the rise of things like Netflix and Amazon Prime, you have thousands of movies available to you instantly. You don't even have to leave your seat. And if you don't like it, well, you can just try something new. And you can try something new, and you can try something new. Choice makes commitment hard. Then, secondly, the rise of consumerism. With choice comes the question, what's in it for me? What do I get out of it? An American psychologist called Jean Twenge says this of the commitment problem millennials have in their relationship. She says, trying to live with somebody else and putting their needs first is more difficult when you've been raised to put yourself first. Trying to live with somebody else and putting their needs first is more difficult when you have been raised to put yourself first. We become consumeristic even at a relational level because committing to another person involves giving of yourself, serving their needs. It's not about gratifying your own desires only, but gratifying the desires of the person you are committing to. Consumerism makes commitment hard. Then thirdly, the age of convenience. Have you ever noticed that the main point of most of the new inventions we have is convenience? Think about it for a minute. So the TV remote was invented so you could stay on the sofa. They invented the washing machine to save your fingers from the washing board. They invented the dishwasher to stop you being the dishwasher. Now, all these things have been designed to make your life easier, and it's something that advertisers buy into. It. Mr. Muscle, for example, what's his slogan? He loves the jobs you hate. And even Staples are getting in the act. You can buy these big red buttons that when you press them, they say, that was easy. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm glad that, well, most of these inventions exist, but it creates a subconscious value in our culture that life should be easy. So when things aren't, we're reluctant to commit to them in the first place, or we just give up. Commitment is hard because we live in an age of convenience. Now, these are just three things that contribute to our commitment problem in our culture. And all of these things make it hard for us as the church to be committed to our vision. Now, Acts chapter 2, this passage we've read, is a description of the earliest church right at the start. But we could hold this up as their vision as well. Their ideal, what they desired to be. And there's so much crossover here between their vision and ours. They wanted to be a church devoted to hearing from God. We want to be a church committed to that. They wanted to grow in their likeness to Christ. We want to be committed to becoming like Him. They wanted to serve God, serve each other, and reach out to the surrounding world. We want to be committed to these things. But like the early church, we're not able to stay committed to their vision. All of these things that are pulling us away from commitment make it hard for us to stay committed to ours. So this morning, what we want to do is make this an opportunity for all of us to recommit ourselves to hearing, to becoming, to serving. And if I'm honest with myself, I know I'm falling short in these things. And some of us will find it harder to be committed to some things than other people will, and vice versa. Perhaps this morning, hearing is what you find it hard to be committed to. Prayer, Bible study are what you find tough. Or perhaps it's pursuing Christ-like holiness, service, and unity that you find most difficult. Or maybe it's serving God's mission in this world that you find it hard to commit to. Whatever it is, this morning is an opportunity to recommit yourself to doing these things better. And I want us to give us space to do that in just a moment. But before we get there, let's take a step back. And perhaps, for whatever reason, you find it hard to commit yourself to us as a church. Maybe it's past hurts. Maybe it's a feeling of being uncomfortable here, or a feeling of not fitting in. Maybe you aren't even sure why you don't want to commit to us as a church. When I was a student in Aberdeen, in the church that I was at, there were a few things that had happened that I just wasn't very happy about. So I met with the student worker at the time to talk about them. Now, I'm not sure whereabouts in America he was from, or if this was how people from there were, but he was very straight down the line. There was no beating around the bush with Jason. And he said, "Well, Steve, you've got three options this morning. You can leave and go find a church, the perfect church, which doesn't exist. Or secondly, you can stay and continue to complain. Or thirdly, you can get involved and try and change it for the better." Now, we know we aren't perfect as a church. We know that we need to continue to be shaped by God into the church He wants us to be. And to do that, we need the help of the discontent to get stuck in and be involved in that change. Second, and if we take another step back, an even bigger one, maybe you're not even sure this morning if you're committed to God. Well, this morning is an opportunity for you to recommit yourself to Him. A God who loves you, a God who will never forsake you, a God who saved you and cared for you, who will change you, who will complete you, a God who desires to see you enter the fullness of what He has for you. So let's respond to Him this morning. If you need to recommit yourself to God, pray this prayer with me. Shall we pray together? Lord, forgive me for letting things get in the way of my relationship with You. pray that you would impress on my heart the immensity of your love for me this morning. I want to commit myself again to you and to your service. Help me to grow in love and knowledge and understanding of you. I give myself to you again. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And secondly, if you need to recommit yourself to our church again, pray this with me. Let's pray. Lord, I know this church is not what it should be, but I also know that no church is. Forgive me when I lack patience. Forgive me when I'm not prepared to help it change for the better. This morning, I want to commit myself to helping our church change for the better. I pray you would grow my love for the church and increase my desire to see its members transformed into your likeness from one degree of glory to another. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then thirdly, each of you should hopefully have a copy of Hebron's vision. And what we're going to do in a moment is we're going to stand and we're going to read it together as a symbol of our commitment to these things. But before we do that, I'd like us to read it on our own and ask ourselves two questions. First question, what are the areas I need to work on personally? Most need to work on personally? And secondly, what are the areas the church most needs to work on? And I'll give you time in a moment to think about that, but when you've thought about that, can you underline where you think we need to work on, both personally and corporately as a church? And then I want us to ask ourselves, what's getting in the way? And what can I do to change it? What's getting in the way, and what can I do to change it? And I think you can think about that for yourself, you can think about that for our church, and I realize that for most of us, it's going to take us longer than 2 minutes to do that. And that's okay. I just want us to get the ball rolling, if you like, and I'll get Steve to send an email out later in the week with a reminder of these questions. But, you know, as you think about these, some of the things that you can do to change our church for the better are big things, absolutely. But I think most of them will be small things. It might mean joining a small group, for example, or it might mean having someone round for a meal, or even just going out for a cup of coffee or a drink with someone. So I encourage you this week, think about it. Pray about it, but let's take a few minutes now just to start the ball rolling, and then in a moment we'll stand and say our vision together. Shall we stand together? It's not on the screen, so hopefully you have all got it in your hands. And let's say this together. So our vision is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever by hearing His voice, becoming more Christ-like, and serving God's mission. We are committed to hearing through preaching that proclaims the good news, through teaching that explains and applies the Bible, through praying, during which the Holy Spirit transforms our knowledge into wisdom by comforting, guiding, and calling us in particular ways. We are committed to becoming more Christ-like by becoming servants as Jesus was, by becoming holy as Jesus was, and by becoming united with others into one body, the church, through baptism in the name of the Trinity and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe God's mission is the arrival of his kingdom rule in every sphere and place on earth, over all peoples, everywhere, and so are committed to serving God's mission by being a welcoming and compassionate church, by generously reaching out here and worldwide as God enables us, and by discerning and using the gifts God gives us at any time, materially and in talents, for others and not our own, to God's glory and praise. Let's pray together. You can take a seat. Let's pray. Father, we recognize the challenge it is in the culture we live in to remain committed to these things. Lord, we pray that you would help us this week to see where we fall short personally and corporately as a church. But Lord, help us not just to see these things. Help us to commit ourselves to changing them, Lord. Give us wisdom and discernment to know how to do that, and help us to act. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to do communion a little